the supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. Peace and salutations of Allah be upon all of you, dear friend. You are with IRIB English Radio and today's special. Our topic is the wisdom behind calamities. Today, Friday, is the 30th of Shawwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 21st of Hordad, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 11th of June, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We'll listen to Chapter Ankabut, verses 1 to 3.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
Alif Lam Mim.
Alif Lam Mim.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Do the people think that they will be left to say, "We believe," and they will not be tried?
وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ
But we have certainly tried those before them, and Allah will surely make evident those who are truthful, and He will surely make evident the liars.
رحمن يا رحمن ساعدني يا رحمن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن واسق حياتي قرآن
Trial is for proving the intrinsic intentions and qualities of a person to be true. In other words, this world is like a university or a farm. In a university, the talents open to blow. The competencies grow. And whatever is in the stage of potentiality reaches the stage of actuality. In this farm, the seeds must be planted. The shoots and the sprouts must come out of their inside. These sprouts come out from the land, grow to be some small plants, and finally become some tall, fruitful trees. These things are not possible without experience and examination.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible.
فجرا جئت بعد العسر يسرا ربنا أعلاك قدرا يا إمام
All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Calamities and disasters in life. The fire of calamity can be extinguished by thinking of those who have been hit even harder. Let him look to his right. Does he see anything but calamity? Then let him look to his left. Does he see anything but loss? If he were to look at the people around him, he would not see anything but people who are tested, either by missing out on something that they like or by having happened to them that which they dislike. The pains of this world are like dreams or like a passing shadow. If you laugh a little, you will weep a lot, and if you are happy for a day, you will be miserable for a lifetime. And if you have what you want for a little while, you will deprive it for a long time. There is no day of happiness, but it is followed by a day of pain. For every moment of joy, there is a moment of sorrow. And no house is filled with joy, but it will be filled with sorrow. There is never any laughter, but there comes weeping after it.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we are going to deal with how to come up with calamities and sorrows. I believe that usually men feel less sorrow. I mean, it doesn't mean that, I mean, men never feel sorrow, but I mean, the feeling of the state or the condition of feeling sorrow occurs to ladies much more than to men. Perhaps this is because, I mean, men usually have some outdoor activities, while ladies, I mean women, are expected to be more at home or to be very much concerned with their own mental or emotional status. In connection with this point, it's instructive to review some important anecdotes from the lives of great personalities. For example, when Imam Khomeini's elder son, the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini, was poisoned and martyred in Najaf, I mean, 1 or 2 years before the victory of the Islamic Revolution. If I'm not mistaken, it occurred in 1978 in Najaf. When the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mustafa Khomeini was the elder son of Imam Khomeini, and who himself was a great man of knowledge and scholarship, and he was a well-known mujtahid in Najaf. When he was poisoned and martyred in Najaf, it's related that Imam Khomeini wasn't such a personality to start shedding tears, I mean, in front of those people who used to come to his house in Najaf in order to express their condolences to him. Meanwhile, as I mean, this type of pressure, especially the sad experience of losing such an erudite son and Ayatollah, a young Ayatollah in Najaf, was really a very unforgettable and unbearable experience. Some people, I mean, some clerics over there, went to Imam Khomeini and told him that it would be much better for his health to shed tears, but nothing could drive Imam Khomeini to shed tears, right together with and in front of a large number of people who had gathered over there in his house. Meanwhile, one of the clerics started recounting some aspects, some sorrowful and tragic experiences of the day of Ashura and the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein's elder son, Ali al-Akbar. And it was at that time that Imam Khomeini started shedding tears profusely.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every part.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your
You are with today's special and success in the light of calamities. The calamities of life provide men with a treasure of experiences and become a ladder to climb up to success and progress. Man gains experience only through hardships. In the light of those experiences, he does only those deeds continuously that give him advantage. He marches forward, crushing the mountains of hardships under his feet. No calamity can ever come in the path of his advancement. When the arrows of distress hit his chest, he tolerates the pain with a smiling face. Nietzsche says, "I love you so much, I wish you should see pains and sorrows. I show no mercy to you in this matter because I really love you. You already know why. It is so because I wish that your hidden abilities should blossom and that you should combat hard times with an armed soul."
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, ma lana rabbun siwa.
Now, the wisdom behind calamity. To attain through submission and servitude to Allah, the Lord of the worlds. Many people are slave to their whims and desires and are not true slaves of Allah, the Almighty. They say that they are slaves of Allah, but when they are tested, they turn on their heels and lose out in this world and in the hereafter. And that is an evidence loss. Allah says, "And among mankind is he who worships Allah as it were upon the edge, that is in doubt. If good befalls him, he is content therewith. But if a trial befalls him, he turns back on his face." That means reverts to disbelief after embracing Islam. He loses both this world and the hereafter. That is the evident loss. Chapter Al-Hajj, chapter 22 of the Holy Quran, verse 11.
We need to realize that we've been created in difficulty so that we are tested. Now in our modern times, especially with all the advancements we witness in society, our difficulties and problems are increasing. They're not decreasing. It's true, technology has helped us in many ways. But technology comes with a price. It has really complicated our lives. It has increased the burden on our shoulders. This is the century that we now are facing. I mean, for those of you who can recall 15, 20 years ago, before everyone had cell phones, convenient cell phones in their pockets, when you left home, you're driving on the street, you're going anywhere, you felt as if everything was fine. You didn't feel worried. You didn't feel you needed anything extra to make you comfortable. But now, the cell phone has become an organ in our bodies. We can't function without it. If you leave the house and you forgot your cell phone back home, you feel as if a part of your body stayed back behind. You're missing something. You can't function without it. Can you function without the internet? Technology has indeed complicated our lives. Although it also benefits us greatly, if you use it properly, of course. If we use it the right way and for the right causes.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. This episode of today's special, may Allah bless you all. Have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and let us start the day with short and sweet saying from Imam Ali, peace upon him. Say good wording and it will be your distinctive feature. do good deeds, and you will be reckoned with its people.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. Again, we delve into the beautiful saying of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, where he mentions the units of the army of Aql and the army of the intellect and that of Jahl. And we have mentioned many, and we've seen that there's a very close link between all of these characteristics. And we have reached this segment of the tradition where the Imam alayhi salam again mentions two characteristics. The first characteristic that the Imam mentions is al-ikhlas. And that which is in contrast to it, and contrary to it, is what the Imam mentioned as, is what the Imam mentions as being ash-shawb. Now here, according to some of the commentators of this tradition, ikhlas here means that pure, unadulterated, you know, sincere belief that a person has in the unity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it is not mixed with any type of shirk whatsoever, or what is known as polytheism. Now again, this has many layers, and this has many, many, many different degrees. For the concept of shirk itself in the sciences of mysticism, philosophy, and ethics, you know, takes different forms. But the most tiniest of forms is that, according to the mystics, is that I see myself as being something, which is something extremely difficult to explain and to actually understand. But this, for example, ikhlas, and this, you know, this tradition, if you look at it from the way of the urafa and the way of the mystics, it takes a completely different meaning. However, we are looking at it from a very apparent means, from, you can say, a theological and philosophical manner. And therefore, we see what is meant here is that a person truly understands, or what could be meant here, that he understands the, in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not mix. Again, what is meant by the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, you know, detailed theological and philosophical discussion. For example, when we say ikhlas of Allah and in our belief, we have to understand how we explain the names and the characteristics and the, you know, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this second part of the segment, which is in opposite, would also mean that we have a very, you know, bent or, you know, deviant understanding of Tawheed. But a person who is Aqil has a pure understanding of the concept of Tawheed. Whereas, you know, a person who doesn't will obviously fall under that category. So it's important for us, and Imam is showing it, that we need to understand what is Tawheed. How is Allah subhanahu related to His names and His attributes, and so on and so forth. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to truly understand what is Tawheed to the depths of that particular concept. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu Alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother.
Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, we are going to listen to the recitation of verses 27 to 41 of Surah An-Nazi'at, recited by Master of Quran Recitation, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 27 to 41 of Surah An-Nazi'at, recited by the great Egyptian reciter, Sheikh Mustafa Ismail. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this recitation by Sheikh Mustafa Ismail, we mostly heard the riwayah of Warsh an Nafir, the favorite riwayah of Egyptians, because Warsh, the person was who Egyptian. Is the rawi of this recitation, was Egyptian. And the reason he was called Warsh was that because he had white skin.
What's the meaning of Warsh?
Warsh means someone who has very white skin. It means white, I believe. And there are some signs for the riwayah of Warsh. A lot of signs. The first one was the tasheel of the hamza at the beginning of verse 27. Antum. He didn't say antum like Hafs. Mustafa Ismail said antum. Only the nabr of the first hamza is applied. For the second hamza, he pronounces it without nabr. Antum, antum, or antum. This is one way of pronouncing antum in Warsh. Antum with tasheel. Another way, which Mustafa Ismail also, he also recited in the second way, was antum, which means you make the hamza, you turn the first hamza, you give it an aliful mad, and it becomes
instead of two hamzas you pronounce one aliful mad,
which is madul lazim,
because now there's six vowels.
Six vowels because there's a Nun sakina after the long vowel. Antumu ashaddu. And antumu ashaddu. Sila mim, mimul jamma. This is called silatu, mimul jamma. Every time there is the pronoun mim, hum, kum, these pronouns, which are plural third person or second person pronouns, and they're followed by a hamza.
Hum and kum.
They become humu, kumu, a'antumu, antum, kum, hum, a'antumu, ashatu. You have to lengthen the mim like a long vowel, waw, like a waw.
You have to add actually a vowel to
waw, it. Yeah, you have to add the long vowel, waw, waw al-mat, to the mim for six vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Somehow difficult.
It's Warsh has very difficult rules. Ashaddu khalqan mis sama. We have naql.
Khalqan
mis sama. The kasra is given to the previous sakin letter, which is nun. Khalqan mis sama.
What it should be? What it used to be actually?
Khalqan. Excuse me. Khalqan mis sama. Not. خلقنا السماء. خلقنا السماء. It should be in Hafs. خلقنا السماء. So you see the difference. And then we have the تقليل or the إمالة الصغرى that we talked about. بنيها. بنيها.
ضحيها. زوات الياء. Or a ياء with a small alif above it.
تقليل is easy. You just say a. بنيها. بنيها.
The aliful mad becomes close to
ya'al mad, but not too mad close.
For around 25%.
75, yeah. It gets close to ya'al mad, 25, but it's 75%, it's aliful mad.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Most of it is aliful mad. But the other rules are the same. We have rafa'a, we have the tafkhim of the ra, we have the tarqiq of the other letters of istifal, rafa'a samkaha fasawwaha, wa aghtasha, we have the tafkhim of the letters of isti'la,
the thickness.
Yeah, the thickness of ghain, ta aghtasha, aghtasha laylaha wa akhraja the kha, duhaha the dad. And another thing we had in verse 30 was walarda. وَالْأَرْضَ, which is again نَقْل, where the vowel which is after the ساكن letter is given to the ساكن letter that's before the letter with a vowel.
وَالْأَرْضَ in حَفْصَ عَنْ عَاصِمٍ becomes وَالْأَرْضَ.
So we have
Ard, the Hamza has a fatha.
Yes.
This fatha is given to the letter before it, which is Wal-Ard, which is Lam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wal-Ard, ba'da dhalika dahayaha. And another
thing, which is Sakin actually, this Lam.
All the mads in Warsh, Matul Muttasul, Matul Munfasul, Matul Lazim, they're all lengthened to six vowel counts.
Mm-hmm.
So this makes it easy. This is the only easy part about
yes.
Warsh.
Whenever you...
Yeah. Of course, lengthening a long vowel to six vowel counts by itself is not so easy, you know, because you have to have a really
it long
breath.
It requires a long breath,
long
actually.
Long breath. If you want, like, for example, if you want to connect... وَالْأَرْضُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاعَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا. You have to do دَحَاهَا أَخْرَجَ and also مَاعَهَا.
Yeah, knowing
two
this rule is easy,
six,
actually.
Yes, knowing it is
but
good.
Observing it is very difficult.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Thank you, dear Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali, talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our hadith, it's very much criticized and condemned that a person would just interpret the Quran based on their own personal opinion. I remember one of ulama who is a marja now, many years ago, he used to say, as he was leading prayer in our school in Qom, he used to say, although he's a marja, and at that time was also recognized mujtahid, he said, I never say any tafsir unless I check with a book. And he used to recommend a lot at Tafsir al-Safi by the late Mullah Muhsin Faiz Kashani. Because you know Mullah Muhsin Faiz Kashani has many books. He has also three famous tafsir. Al-Safi, Al-Musaffa, Al-Aswa. So Tafsir al-Safi is a very good book, very simple and easy to follow. So this mujtahid was saying, without checking at least this tafsir, I am not talking about any ayah of the Quran. So we have to be very careful. We want to go to the Quran with open heart, with curiosity, but we want to get proper answer. We don't want to impose our ideas or our ignorance to the Quran. If we follow the Quran properly with through a scholarship, then actually you would find things are very easy to understand, and they are something that every person by his fitrah would appreciate. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the people who are very attentive and appreciative of Quran and try to understand the Quran as Allah has meant and willed. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran our Shafi on the Day of Judgment and our guide to heaven, inshallah.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab, Call of Islam, on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن
اشرح صدري قرآن.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality. Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining us on today's episode of Back to Reality here on IRIB English Radio. In the studio with me, I have my brothers in faith and humanity, Brother Mudaffa, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Brother Hassanain, assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
We have been blessed with the tawfiq and the gift
alhamdulillah
to live in the city of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, and to be the guests of the daughter of the Messenger of Allah, Sayyidina Ma'asum, salamu alayhi alayha. I want you guys to take me down memory lane.
Memory lane.
Yeah, for today's episode. Okay, I want to keep it really nice, really homey, really personal, and your experience, first time you came to Qom. How many years ago? How did it happen? How did it go down?
You asking me first?
I'm asking you first.
I don't remember. It was around 7 years back. It's all very fuzzy for me. I'm sorry. I would take you down memory road if I could. Forget about memory lane. I would take you down memory road, the highway of memories. But I honestly don't remember. It's all fuzzy. And yeah, brother.
Brother Hassanain, please help like, me out.
It was like 2 years back when I came to Qom first. To live in the city of Qom to study. But I came to Qom for Ziyarat before that, those years as well. So if you talk about, you know, me visiting the Holy Shrine for the first time. So in fact, not just the first time, it's like this feeling I have every time I visit the Holy Shrine of Hazrat Ma'asum salamu alayhi alayha. So, you know, I have the feeling that I'm visiting my mother. There's a feeling that I get every time, not just the first time.
That's beautiful.
Okay, so, and there's one reason for that. Because we usually visit the different shrines of the, you know, different holy imams.
Yeah.
So all of them are men, they're imams. And so alhamdulillah, I've been blessed that they have visited almost all of the holy shrines. Mm. But unfortunately, I haven't been to Syria. So I have visited all the holy shrines. And unfortunately, we don't have a holy shrine for Hazrat Fatima salam alayha.
True.
So I even went to Medina, but there's no shrine for Bibi, salamu alayha. So, but when I came to Qom, so it was the first holy shrine of a lady, holy lady.
Beautiful.
So now I feel like, you know, I'm visiting my mother.
Oh, that is
you know,
so
and
sweet.
She's actually our, you know, true mother.
She is.
So
she really is.
I get that feeling and, you know, I just feel like, you know, sitting there for hours and, you know, conversing with her, like sharing my, you know, how my day went, like everything.
That's
really cute, mashallah. Ya masumem shafi'e ye ruz jazayi. Ya masumem تو زینب امام رضایی. یا مسعود ملیکه ارض و سمایی. یا مسعود شفیع روز جزایی. یا تو زینب امام رضایی.
برادر مضافان،
yo,
I'm sure you had such like a similar experience. Okay, fine. You don't remember the first time you went to her shrine. Tell me about the most memorable visit.
My journey has been a little bit different because...
Tell me about your different journey.
It's a bit controversial, right? I am always envious of brothers like Hassanain, right?
Right.
I feel very envious, especially when everybody who I talk to, they have the same or a similar experience of different great abilities. But for me, I visited the shrine and it was just, I felt blank. It was just like, okay, this is a shrine. Okay, there's people here. No, I wasn't even overwhelmed.
Was this your first time?
First time, second time, maybe the first 10 times, you know, for the first year or two or three, I was a strange person. I still am. I think I've become stranger. No, but, you know, people's upbringing has a role to play in how they come into this weird world and this dunya of this, you know. I've had a bad past. I've had a bad life, guys, all right? I went to a really bad school. It's just been bad.
Bad,
all right? Anyway, that's how I felt, okay? And I've always craved to understand what the ziyara actually means.
Right.
At the end of the day, you're going and visiting a grave. This is a person who is buried here.
So, like, was it your first time visiting any holy shrine?
No. Funnily enough, my first ever ziyara was to Syria, to Sayyidah Zainab.
I've always
felt a very deep connection to Sayyidah Zainab. You know more about Sayyidah Zainab.
True.
You know, you know about her story, you know about her journey. Sayyidah Zainab has always been a humongous hero for me. You know, she's Sayyidah Zainab. She was there in Karbala. She stood up in Sham. She spoke out against the tyrants. She was in the court of Yazid and she spoke with the eloquence of her father. You know, all of that. So that was a different experience. Sayyidah Ma'asuma, she's the sister of Imam Rida alayhi salam. So they had other sisters, they had other brothers, you know, they had many, many siblings and aunties and uncles. And so why is that special? You know? So for the longest time, and I am very ashamed to say this, but at the same time, I'm just being honest. This is how I felt. I did not understand the concept of tawassul. It took me a long time to get over that hurdle. My goodness. And I didn't understand this idea of the Ahlul Bayt hearing us even though they've passed on from this dunya. Okay? So yeah, that's where I was, and that was what my general experience was.
How long have you been living in her city, Brother Hassan?
2 years.
2 years. How do you feel she's contributed to your life during your time here?
Okay, so, you know, in my daily life, you know, when I came to Qom, you know, my life changed completely. Like, you know, when you live in the city of Qom, it has got a, you know, different environment. You know, visiting the holy shrine, you know, every time I visit the holy shrine, like, it literally purifies my soul. So, living in Qom, I got more heedful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a thing, you know, there's a thing we all need in our life. You know, as Imam Ali says in his sermon in Nahj al-Balagha, that how can you not be heedless of he who is not heedless of you?
Beautiful.
So like living in the holy city of Qom and visiting the holy shrine, you know, I've got more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and got heedless to him.
Which is really such a valuable blessing. It's not very often that we find ourselves in a point in life that we feel like I'm more God cautious now.
Alhamdulillah.
Right? And yeah, I think you've been really blessed at such a young age too, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
What did you want
to
say?
And one more point I wanted to mention that, you know, like, okay, so we are living here as foreigners, so like we don't have a family over here. It's just like a few friends.
Right.
So the thing is, you
don't... I don't even have any friends.
May Allah bless you with tons of friends.
She doesn't want
them. I don't want any friends.
Take it back.
Okay, please continue.
Okay, so the thing is, like me living alone here, so... But I have always got that in my mind that, you know, I have someone over here, and that's my mother, Sayyidah Fatima.
Beautiful.
So it's like whenever you're sad or you're going through difficulties or, you know, hard times, you have someone to share your problems with. And, you know, sharing your problems with Ahlul Bayt and especially the Imam is a man of your time. You know, it relaxes your heart.
It really does.
Yeah, so that's the best thing of living in Qom. Like, you go through any problem, like, it shouldn't be like this. Like, we just go there to, you know, solve our problems. We should go there because we love them. But this is the one good thing, that whenever we are in problems, we can go and talk to them. Like, we can share our problems with them and we can do tawassul.
Even if your problems don't immediately get resolved, you don't feel that sense of impending doom. You're all alone. It's you against the world anymore. You feel like, you're like, I've got backup. So, Brother Mudhaffar, all right, so obviously your first experience sucked, but it's, I understand that. It's because of the place we were from. It was a horrible place.
No, I guess it's because of the reason, you know, recognizing someone. Like, if you take me to a holy shrine, I don't know who it is. Okay, so it's a grave, and
naturally, people come and visit it.
So it's about recognizing.
Tell me about your journey from feeling nothing at her shrine, because I was like, you were like, who are you? To now going to her shrine, how does it feel today?
Now I've developed that connection, I think, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, exactly. Right?
I understand that when you go to the shrine, she is hearing you. I understand that her status is very, very high.
Why? Tell me, what is it about her status that's high? I never say status, okay?
Yeah, that's the American accent.
What is it about her status?
Her status, basically, it's I could only arrive at that through trusting Allah and the Ahlul Bayt. I had to develop that trust in order to get there. We already knew things, like, for example, one who visits my sister, Imam Ridha alayhi salam said that, you know, falahu al-jannah.
So paradise is obligatory upon he who visits my
Jannah
sister.
Jannah is his, okay? Then I had to develop...
Because it sounds so far-fetched.
It's like, why? Look at that guy. Look at that lady over there. She's not even wearing proper hijab or... I don't know. Like, you judge people, right? Why should these people go to Jannah just because they paid for a ticket and they came from, I don't know, Singapore, and they came over here and they went... they put some flowers on the shrine or whatever and they left. He's getting Jannah now. He's getting Jannah. All right, so this always stood out to me.
I feel you.
I'm being completely frank, right?
I know, I appreciate it.
So I'm like, no, I don't believe this. So then it took me a while to understand and to learn to trust what the Ahlul Bayt are saying and what the Prophet and Allah is saying. When I developed that trust and then I looked at these things, then I started to understand that it requires too much information in order to do that. It's better to, and wiser actually, to just trust what they are saying. Imam Khomeini would spend a lot of time in the shrine.
Many of our ulama. Yeah, ulama Tabatabai.
Yeah, yeah. They would actually spend a significant amount of time. So they came to him and they said, hey, you know, you're a mudja, you should be doing other things. You know, why are you sitting by her? He said, if you knew who she is, you wouldn't say that.
That's exactly what I wanted to say. And I think Brother Hassanin alluded to it at some point too. It's our lack of knowledge.
Of knowledge.
We don't have ma'rifah. We don't have enough ma'rifah toward her to understand. And I think by that hadith, Imam Ridha alayhi salam means you visit her arifan bihaqqaha, while you have ma'rifah toward her position, toward who she is, the essence of her existence. Then you're going to be in heaven, man, because you're already a very, like...
Now, the feminine question comes into this. The feminine question comes into it, because when it comes to women in the world of Islam, in the history of Islam, I feel like there is a very two-dimensional way that we seem to look at women. Sayyida Ma'asuma, for me, she opened my eyes to a certain extent to help me to understand Sayyida Fatimah al-Zahra. Sayyida Zainab always stood out to me. Sayyida Zainab was that heroic figure. She stood against the Taghut. She did those kinds of things. She was in Karbala. Sayyida Fatima, though, although she did do that as well, and she had the same eloquence, etc., generally speaking, she's seen as a woman of the household. Okay? You know, most of the riwayat that we have about her, about being in the household, cooking, cleaning,
raising her children,
doing ibadah. So